Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Mark, I've been saying for years that Ping help you play your best because that is exactly what they've done for me throughout my entire career. And now I've been having a look at the new Blueprint S and T irons, and boy, they are impressive. So much so that I've got the new Blueprint S irons in my bag at the moment.
So what do you like about them so much? I mean, I've never seen you this excited about a golf club.
Well, I could go through the specs, which are exceptional, but I won't. I will say, though, that if you're looking for more ball speed, and if you want to lower your scores, if you want to mix and match and still look great, you should check them out. Because the new Blueprint S and T irons, they are definitely worth a look.
Nice.
Just book in with your local golf shop or professional to arrange a Ping club fitting.
Nico Hearn and Mark Allen with some Talk Birdie to Me bonus content.
So welcome to the Talk Birdie to Me, halfway at the Masters special podcast. Nick, nice to see you. That wind, as long as I've been watching the Masters, which is, you know, almost 50 years, I've never seen it that windy at that golf course 2 days in a row. Have you?
Yeah, it was carnage out there for sure. But I think the most important question, Mark, is you went out and played this morning. Were you inspired by the Masters? What did you shoot? Come on.
I had 25 putts and shot 69 in the middle at Kingston Heath. I just couldn't believe it.
Wow.
Hey,
ridiculous.
You shot the same score as your buddy, Åberg.
As Åberg.
Yeah, he had the low round of the day, 69. Can you imagine 69 being the low round of the day at Augusta? I mean, you said earlier, have I seen something like it? The only time, I mean, I played four Masters, and it was similar to this in 2007 when Zach Johnson won with a winning score of one over par. But the first few days, it was blowing like this. I mean, it was 20 mile per hour winds with up to 40, 45 mile per hour gusts. But the biggest difference 2007 was the golf course was firm, so it was virtually almost unplayable. Whereas this time, at least it was soft, so you could get some spin on the ball. And fascinatingly, I mean, the two firmest greens on the course were the highest points on 9 and on 18, and you saw the shots coming into 18 where balls were just bouncing through and they couldn't control it. So it was very, very tough for everyone out there, and I thought it was a joy to watch, to be honest. Yeah. But the thing is, when conditions get like this, play gets slow, and it was, you know, plus 6 hour rounds basically for the last few groups.
Let's talk about everybody before we talk about our guys, the Australians, and we'll throw in Foxy as well because he's a New Zealander, and in the Anzac spirit, we better talk about everybody. Let's talk about Bryson DeChambeau's first round 65 in a hurricane. It's almost the best round of golf I've seen. It almost. I mean, I'm not sure whether you're up early enough. I was up early that day and having a look. It really was a hurricane, and he played some of the most special golf you've ever seen. He actually said afterwards, and I want you to explain to people, when it's that windy on that style of green, when it's pacey and it's windy, he actually said after his round that it's just a lucky dip, basically, was the effect of a lot of reading the greens is luck. Now, I'm not sure whether, you know, you've obviously played Royal Melbourne and Augusta. I imagine you've played both golf courses when it is windy. Can you just explain the folks when the greens are running at 12 and 13 what it's like when the wind's blowing four or five clubs, gusting four or five clubs?
Yeah, well, the difference at Augusta is there's so much break on the greens, a lot more severe. The speed at, say, Royal Melbourne and Augusta are very similar, but there's just more slope at Augusta. And when the wind's blowing like that, they can't get them too quick because the ball just won't stop. John Rahm had an interesting one on 14 today where he hit a putt from about 4 or 5 feet for par and it went 20 feet past just because the wind got it and the slope took it away. So you've got to be so careful in that regard as well. But Bryson's opening round was amazing. I thought today he played pretty solidly, the 73. Yeah. Just left a few out there at the end, could have made a few putts, and I think he three-putted the last, unfortunately. But he's a fascinating guy, and they were talking about how his irons were only approved by the USGA on Monday.
Are you kidding me?
Last week his irons were non-conforming, so he'd tinkered around with them over the past week, got them conforming, and and he's out there playing with these conforming clubs now, which is amazing.
I'm going to write that down. I'm going to write down and find out why they weren't conforming. We better get to the bottom of that story. So our next week's podcast, our final look at the Masters, we'll know what that story is. So my notable that could not possibly win, Scottie Scheffler, after watching him play in the first couple of days, now I've done a full reverse. I don't think he can possibly lose. I've had a look at the forecast. I just think he's too good. And you make this point better than anybody, that you've never seen anybody with the square club face through the impact zone better than him. I saw one person replied back to you, Lee Trevino was somebody. Yeah, I agree with that too. Lee was very good, but we've never seen anything like this square club face through impact like Scottie Scheffler's.
Yeah, he just keeps it in square through the hitting zone for so long. Yeah, I posted that on social media earlier, and the only other person I heard was very similar was Byron Nelson. Someone did say Mo Norman. I mean, he probably had the squarest of all time, but again, never watched him play, saw him hit balls, but he's so impressive with his irons. And this golf course is the ultimate iron test, because you've always got sloping lies, elevation changes, pins where you got to work the ball into. I mean, he shot into 10 was just phenomenal. 11 was just a pure little low draw into this tee. The wind was howling at that point on 11. A great four there. He had a beautiful shot into 12. The strange thing is on 13, twice he's knocked it into the creek there in front of the green. So it could actually be three or four in front right now. But I think he's pretty happy with the 72 given all the conditions. And I thought his lag putting, or not his lag putting, but his two putts on the last three holes was excellent, because he left himself some long ones on 16, 17 and 18.
Yeah. Hey, we spoke about red and greens when the wind is gusting four and five and sometimes six clubs is what it looked like out there. We've all played golf courses in this country, in Australia, where, you know, we've played in those conditions. But we've never played in the conditions that I certainly haven't, where the pines are so tall and the golf course is on the side of a hill like it is Augusta. I mean, it just all slopes down to Amen Corner. I imagine, Nick, you know, when you play Royal Melbourne, if it's a southeasterly, pretty much on every hole it's a southeasterly, because the trees aren't tall enough. You know, they might vary just a little bit. But if it's a southeasterly, let's just say, all right, let's pick a wind. It's a five or six club gusting wind, and you've got these tall pine trees and fairways that go all over the place. How hard is it to actually, you know, you're talking about iron play there, how hard is it to guess where that wind is? Because, you know, they'd all look at the yardage book, they'd see the little compass that's written on the page, they'd kind of have a basic idea where it is, but they'd throw some grass up in the air and it might go, you know, maybe quarterly or even a third different. So how do you actually do it on that golf course?
It's a matter of waiting for the right time, and to be honest, it's luck of the draw half the time as well, because you know the wind direction, the general direction it's coming through, but the way the course is shaped through the pine trees and it sweeps around the dog legs and goes down and up these massive hills, the wind just funnels. And the perfect example of that is the 12th hole, the par 3, where you look across to the 11th green, the flag's going left to right, you look at the 12th flag and it's going right to left, and you think, how is this possible? So the biggest thing is, whenever you pull a club on the golf course, you have to have full commitment in it, and then it's just more a matter of being lucky to hit it at the right time, because if you hit it when there's a wind gust, well, unfortunately, it could mean a 20 or 30 metre difference into how far the ball goes. And then once you get on the greens, as we alluded to earlier, you've got to factor in the wind as well. A lot of the short putts you're going to have there from 4, 5, 6 feet, you're giving it sometimes a foot of break. And then if you've got the wind coming the other way, well, again, it's a bit of a guessing game, to be honest.
Hey, two fabulous stats. Tiger Woods goes into the history books. He's got another record. He's made 24 consecutive cuts. That was a mighty effort. And even, you know, that second round, he didn't have to walk 18 holes today. He had to walk 23. So that was always going to test him out. But he was really happy with himself and gave Jason Day a big hug on that 36 green. And you know, another record in the back pocket, and something that even, you know, even Tiger would be rapt about. But the other one, there's two stats here. 36 of the last 37 winners of the Masters have been in the top 10 through 36 holes. And 92% of Masters winners all time have been within five shots of the lead entering the weekend as well. So, you know, if you look at those two stats, then there's a whole raft of players that are kind of out of that. Pretty much anyone at one under or even, if you believe in that stat, they're in a bit of trouble unless they can do something miracle-like, you know, Nick Price-like, 62 in a third round or something like that. Do those stats, when you hear those things, does it surprise you, Nick, you know, with your experience playing there, that, you know, people who find themselves at the top of the leaderboard quite often don't roll off that leaderboard in the weekend?
Yeah, it's not surprising, because it is the ultimate test of having experience and form and having your ball under control. That is the massive factor. And if that five-shot rule applies, well, then it's everyone just under par. So there's 14 players under par. Only those 14 are probably going to win. And that's not going to be that surprising either, given the caliber of the players up top there. The funny thing is, I was watching the end of the second round, was the cut went from four over, it went to five over, and it was just hanging there, and I thought, all these six overs, something diabolical's got to happen for them to get in. And it did, because Hideki Matsuyama and Justin Thomas both double bogeyed the last hole to let everyone in. It was the most fascinating 10 minutes of golf I've seen. And JT, I mean, I got a feel for him. He was seven over his last four holes. He was level par playing 15, and he misses the cut. Horrible finish. Yeah, three.
What was the game? It was top 54, wasn't it? Top 54 and ties make the cut. So
top
we got
50 plus ties.
Top 50 plus ties.
Yeah.
Right on it. Okay, so there's 11 players on plus six. So he let 11 players in. One of them was our Adam Scott. Another was John Rahm. Oh, no, John Rahm was at five. Another one was Jose Maria Lathabelle. Ricky Fowler got through, and Hideki managed to sneak in there as well. Hey, let's quickly just look at the top of the leaderboard. I always like to look at the top and the bottom, Nick. It's always good fun, all right, the top and the bottom. So Homer, DeChambeau, Scottie Scheffler, they're all at six under par. Højgaard, impressive. He's an impressive kid, four under par. Cam Davis, our very own, 69-72, no rounds over par, rock solid. He's tied with Colin Morikawa at that number at three under par. Ludvig Åberg, at a low round of the day, like you said, shot the 69. He actually, when he started this morning, he started really poorly. I think he started on the 14th hole. I think he started bogey, double bogey, or double bogey, bogey, one or the other. So he just got off to a rotten start this morning.
So let me tell you something you'll love to hear, Mark, because going by the strokes gained statistics that they have, I saw this come out. This is the single best round of his career against the field. He gained 6.08 strokes on the field, because the field average was 75.08. He shot 69, and it's his second round in a major. So how scary is that?
Yeah. Okay. He's unbelievable. I mean, his golf swing is just unbelievable. Let's just have a look at some of the notables down the bottom. Emilio Grillo shot 83 the second round. I mean, that can happen. We're not laughing at these people. Adrian Bronk, we know him from winning Australian Opens and just missing out on Ryder Cup teams, 78 and 80. Dustin Johnson, that's my surprise, 78 and 79. I mean, I would have almost let you have him in a notable that couldn't possibly win, Dustin Johnson, just because of his history here and a past winner. Gary Woodland, plus 13. Fred Couples, plus 12. Jasper Stubbs, I saw him make a birdie on the 16th hole this morning when I was eating my cornflakes at Kingston Heath. So I was wrapped for him to do that. He got off his last four holes in round one. I think he finished bogey, bogey, double, double, or double, double, bogey, bogey. One or the other, played the last four holes, six over. And Bubba Watson, one of your lefty brigade, 74-80. So, Jordan Spieth missed the cut as well. Victor Hovland missed the cut. Justin Rose missed the cut. Wyndham Clark, the world number four, missed the cut, 73-78.
He was talking about, what were his chances after his first round. He said, well, I'm feeling pretty good because, there's 54 holes to go on. And he was talking about the LIV Tour for some reason, how it was only 54, and he's going to cop it because he missed the cut by one from a lot of the LIV followers.
Why would you do it to yourself?
Well, plenty going on, and we are back right after this to find out how the Aussies are doing.
Mom Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Now, if you haven't checked out the Golf Clearance Outlet, then you, I can guarantee you this, are missing out. And if you have, well, you know what we're talking about. Great time to drop in, because with all the new equipment released in January, good old Sam at the Golf Clearance Outlet is licking his lips, because the stores are chock full of 2023 branded clearance product. And you know, that was a hell of a year for golf equipment, Nick.
You're spot on there, Mark. There's heaps of gear for righties, of course, but as you know, I am a lefty, so there's a heap of gear for lefties as well, and plenty for both men and women. And if you're after a great Prezi idea, you can get gift cards in-store or online.
So if you're looking for great golf gear and great prices, the Golf Clearance Outlet needs to be in your plans to go and check it out. See the team in-store at Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth, or online, golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. It's that simple, Nick.
Can't wait.
Hang on, Nick. I thought you were righty putting now.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Hey, Nick, I know you've heard of the Watch My Numbers app. It is brand new, and it is going to dominate the golf app scene for a long, long time. If you want to improve your game, you need to know the areas you're doing well in and where you need to improve. And this app will tell you exactly that, Nick.
Yeah, you're spot on, Mark. It's the most powerful database golf app in the world, and it helps analyze and improve your game like never before, because it uses real-time data from your rounds and highlights the areas of your game that you want to look at.
You get actionable and usable info in minutes, not hours. That's really important. It's easy to use. You can set up your profile very quickly. I've done mine. And start accessing data and subscriber-only content straight away.
Hmm. Who's it aimed at?
Well, it's aimed at people who want to improve their game. It's for all levels of every golfer out there. Particularly powerful if you're a mid to low handicapper. But it's great for the elite level and pros as well.
So elite and pros as well. I like that.
Watch My Numbers. Download it from the App Store and turn your bogeys in the birdies.
If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure to subscribe and never miss an episode. And maybe share it with a friend. Now back to Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen. This is Talk Birdie to Me.
Okay, boys, we're talking about the US Masters. This is the After the Cut bonus pod. Nick and Mark, let's look at the Aussies.
Cam Davis, can he win, Nick?
Well, as we know, I mean, can anyone beat Scottie Scheffler at the moment? Davis, he just flies under the radar. He's such a ballsy competitor, and I think he's got a great pairing tomorrow. He's playing with Colin Morikawa, so it's nothing, you know, it's nothing over-awing for him, and he's got shoes on the bag, obviously. He's playing solid golf, 69-72 in those conditions. I think after the first day, he said, well, this is just a typical, you know, central coast of New South Wales sort of day for me with the way it's blowing and everything. So everyone was saying how hard it was. He said, well, this is the norm for me. I love it.
Yeah. I'm the same as you. I don't think Cameron can win because of Scottie Scheffler, but I think he can come second. You know, yes. I think he's got the game to come second, and that'd be a mighty feather in the cap. Ryan Fox, at the way he played early, 5 under par in an absolute hurricane early after 9 holes, ended up shooting 69, 74 today. He might be a little bit too far back to come second, because I think second is the first. If we get two decent days, Scheffler's going to win this tournament. What do you make of Cameron Smith's performance, 71, 72?
Impressive, given he had the food poisoning last week, and watching him go about his business, you could see a little bit of him on the coverage, and then you could obviously watch it on the Masters app if you wanted. And he looked rock solid and had some chances coming in to get one or two closer, but 1 under in those conditions, he's looking great. And another player I thought who did well out of the Aussies, given he's had the flu, he's got the broken finger, was Minwoo Lee. Just making the cut was a great effort for him, 74-74.
Yeah.
Jason Day had a bad finish this morning playing with Tiger, but he rallied and made the cut as well. And
Can I just talk about Jason Day for a second?
Please.
He's 4 over par. If he was wearing normal pants, he'd be 2 under. Those pants, Nick, cost him four shots on day one. I've got no doubt.
It was certainly a day for the slim fit, I was thinking, yeah.
Mate, he looked like he had just jumped out of an aeroplane when it was gusting on those winds. And his pants were, like, Tiger was laughing at him. There were people laughing at his pants.
I don't know what he was thinking. Yeah, it was crazy.
Adam Scott, nice to see him playing on the weekend. And Jasper Stubbs, you know, he'd be filthy at the moment with the 80 and the 76, you know, because everyone's got pride. But he'll wake up tomorrow and this will be a great experience for him.
Absolutely. And he was so close to actually shooting a pretty good round in that in that first round. I think he was one over playing 15. He hit a 9, which caught the front back, goes in the water, makes double, doubles the next, and all of a sudden, you know, it's a bit of a train wreck coming in. So he'll learn from those things, and I think the experience would be second to none. And obviously he had Clarkey on the bag who did our bonus Masters pod earlier. So I'm sure those two had a great time. Did you see also Greg Norman was in the gallery?
Apparently his son is saying that he paid for a ticket. I don't get that.
What I can't understand is there are, 13 LIV players in the field. Eight of them made the cut, by the way. They all get 8 tickets and then you're allowed to buy 4 more. So I'm not sure why he wouldn't have grabbed one of those. Now, there are stipulations from the men at the Masters that who you invite is a bit of a prerequisite. So I'm sure you got to get clearance there. But, it's a bit of a strange one, to be honest.
It's actually more than that too, because Greg Norman's son was saying not only did he have to buy a ticket, but he had to buy it on the secondary market because they wouldn't sell him one on the primary market.
Wow.
Oh, well, he's done well. There's still a lot of me that loves the shark. You know, we all make fun of him a little bit these days because, you know, he's no longer the great white shark. He's the great white nudist in my eyes. And, you know, there's other things that make us smile when we think about Greg Norman, but I still love him. I absolutely love him. And he was a big part of my childhood, wasn't he?
He had the Akubra hat on and, you know, looking $1 million. Obviously, he's very fit for a 69-year-old, I'll say that. But I think tomorrow one of the things I'm really looking forward to is some of the pairings and the most colourful. I mean, if you had a microphone close up, it's the Tiger Woods Tyrrell Hatton pairing. That's going to be fun, I'd say.
I tell you, we need that secondary channel we've got at the moment. By the way, I got up early this morning and I put the TV on. And it took me about half an hour to realise that I was on the Amen Corner holes. That channel instead of the other channel.
We need that channel
on Tiger and Tyrrell tomorrow, and mic'd up. That would be so good.
Well, I'm sure they've got a dedicated Tiger channel. So
I'm just having a look here. Yeah, so Davis and Morikawa is a good one. I'll tell you, Oberg and Pavon, that'd be a nice one for Europe as well. They'd look at that one closely. And just for pure ball striking, Cameron Young and Tommy Fleetwood. What a group that'd be from Tee to Green.
Yeah, that's nice. And you got Rory and Camillo going out as well together. That'll be a lot of fun. I was hoping they may do some fun pairings, like the Masters can do that every now and then, but they've sort of followed the formula because there was a chance we could have had Tiger and Brooks playing together and there was a chance we could have had Rory and Mickelson. Now, that would have been fun to have those pairings out there, but they didn't go down that route, unfortunately. But Rory, Camillo would be good. I think the Scotty Scheffler, I would have loved to have seen Scotty playing with Bryson, but maybe that'll happen on Sunday, who knows. But he's playing with Nikolai Højgaard, who's in his first Masters, so impressive as well.
Well, I'm looking forward to this weekend, or at least our Sunday and Monday in Australia anyway. Dan, now I want to talk to you about possibly putting Nick on probation. I was listening to radio this week and I think it was on SEN, and they asked Nick, they said, what's going on with Mark? It's telling everybody that Scotty Scheffler can't win. Now, Nick failed to mention...
Say?
He failed to mention that it was a segment of a notable that can't possibly win. You failed to mention that, and you'll hug me out the dry. Well, so, Dan, it's up to you. I reckon just a couple of weeks probation just in case.
Okay.
Well, that's probably fair. That's probably fair.
If Ludwig goes on to win, well, then you'll just be the best caller of dark horses ever. So well done.
Good idea.
Marco, I'm curious though. You've been talking like Scheffler will win from here. You've said that a couple of times that you think he's going to win from here.
Yeah.
You seem to be discounting DeChambeau. Why is that?
Now, look, that's a really good question, actually, and we probably should have spoken about that. There's no reason why he can't win. Mm. And before the tournament, not one person I knew mentioned him. I watched everything. No one mentioned Bryson DeChambeau. No one said, watch out for Bryson.
He hasn't finished inside the top 20 here at the Masters ever. I think his best finish was as a as an amateur. But I heard he had some form coming in, but when you don't have good history here, it's pretty hard to pick someone like him. And it'll be fun to watch when the course dries out over the weekend, how far he's going to hit it. He hit about a 380-yard drive on 17 today, I believe. He only had a flip sandine in or something. It was crazy how far that thing went. So he's going to bomb away, and we'll see. He was also carrying a cross at one stage on the
surface. I saw that. What was he doing? He like at Augusta on the grounds, they've got these poles and they've got signs, their points everywhere. You know, here are the toilets. Here is the, where you can get yourself a palmetto cheese sandwich. And, you know, it tells you where everything, clubhouse is that way, Amen Corner's that way. And he was carrying it. Yeah. I don't know. What was he doing?
What happened on 13, I think he hit it so far right, and then he had to pitch out across the 14th fairway that he was near a post over there and was trying to get – he actually made a good joke of it after. He said, well, I was just trying to get people to show him where to go to the restrooms.
Anyway. Well, look, to answer your question, Dan, just watching Scotty the first couple of days, the way he's swinging the club, but more importantly, there's no anxious head whatsoever when he's hitting that big putter. I thought I did think perhaps the honeymoon period was off with the mallet, but he looks rock solid to me in every facet of his game. So I think it's his to lose. He's still got. I wouldn't be surprised if he shot a couple of 65s in nice conditions and ran away with it, to tell you the truth.
So you're saying Scheffler wins from here, Mark. Nick, who wins from here?
Oh, it's still Scheffler in my mind. He was my pick all along. Homer, I've been really impressed. We haven't really spoken about Max Homer. Very solid tee to green. He's played with Tiger the first 2 days.
Yeah. And
he was actually being more of a spectator at some times, he said, just sort of standing back and watching the great man. So how he goes will be interesting. His form in majors has never been that good, but he just seems to be getting better and better every year. So, and he's got a great attitude. I love some of the comments he said in the post-round interview. So we'll keep an eye out for him, but tomorrow will dictate a lot of, obviously, what's going to happen on that final round.
Well, talk to you next week, boys. And fingers crossed we get some wonderful weather and some beautiful golf at Augusta this weekend.
But Mark, you've shot your 69. I'm going to head out to Cathedral this afternoon and see what I can shoot. I'll let you know.
Are you going O'Hoo or O'Hearn?
I'm going O'Hearn. I'm working on my game a little bit at the moment.
Someone posted your handicap page, mate. And, you know, you're left-handed. Yeah. You shot 76. And that 76 is not bad.
The header does 76 points or something on the golfers.
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know. They've got it all confused. Maybe that's how I'm off a 9 handicap. I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds right. Righto.
See you, boys.
Righto.
All right.
See you, guys.
See you, boys.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for being part of Talk Birdie to Me with Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen. And if you want to be part of the show, drop us a message or comment on the socials. Or you can send an email or leave a voicemail at talkbirdietome.com.au. Thanks to the great team at Ping, they're the best in the business and they'll help you play your best. And the Golf Clearance Outlet. If you're after top quality at prices you won't beat, check them out. golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. Talk Birdie to Me's executive producer is Dan Bradley at Kaizen Media. Sound design, Daryl Misson at loudzebra.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.